This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils within ourselves and the evils of our sins. Whomsoever Allah guides because they are sincere and looking for guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they are prideful or arrogant or refuse to be guided, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. For our own success, our own salvation, our own happiness eternally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and commands us in the Quran, O believers, O you who believe, be mindful, conscious of Allah. Meaning internally and externally, in private and in public, with Muslims, with non-Muslims, with friends and with strangers. Be mindful of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. Be prepared to meet Allah. Be mindful of Allah as He deserves, as is His right, and do not die except in a state of worship. And if you desire to die in a state of worship, then it is required for us to live upon it as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live consistently and sincerely upon Islam and to die upon it as well. Allahumma ameen. I want you to imagine a scenario in which you had a dream that you saw the hellfire. May Allah protect us all and our loved ones. Allahumma ameen. And you saw in the hellfire a position, a spot that had your name on it. And then your dream shifted over to Jannah. May Allah grant us Jannah. And within it you saw a position that had your name on it. And then you woke up. How would you feel? What would you think? I remember almost 15 years ago in doing research on paradise and hellfire, all the ayat and all the authentic ahadith that I could find, I ran into a particular hadith that caused me to think twice. And it doesn't mean that other ahadith don't do this, but the effect of this hadith was very memorable for me. In which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no one amongst you except that you have two positions. Meaning all of you, all human beings have two positions. One in the hellfire and one in paradise. And when the believer enters paradise, a house will be built for them, meaning a palace of Jannah will be established for them in that place that had their name on it, and their position in the hellfire will be destroyed. And in another narration, when the disbeliever enters the hellfire, their position, the place that had their name on it in Jannah, is destroyed. And the narration ends there. And I want us to think for a moment about our receptiveness of this hadith. What's the first thought that comes to mind? The very obvious one. That there is a very real possibility for all human beings, due to our free will, the purpose of our creation, the fact that we have the ability to decide, the fact that we were created to decide, to choose the path of good or the path of evil. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created us to test us. That our actions in this world have consequences, and that for each human being there is a possibility of either entering Jannah or entering the hellfire. May Allah protect us all and our loved ones from the hellfire. This hadith is a reminder that your actions have consequences, and that you were created for these actions and for the consequences. That you were created for this test. And so it causes us from a psychological perspective to take a step back and ask ourselves about our perspective on decisions, decision making, as well as destinations, the destination that you seek. So if it is that position in Jannah that you seek, the one that had your name on it, that you saw in that dream or heard in that hadith, if that's the destination that you want, then you start your life mission, your entire identity in terms of where you want to end up, your destination. You start by setting the destination first. That my destination is the pleasure of Allah and paradise. That's very clear cut, it's very simple, it's very straightforward. But in order to reach that destination, I have to make certain decisions. And it's not any decision that leads to that destination, for there are decisions that lead to the other possibility, the possibility of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Allahumma ameen. So the step back here is what? Link your decisions to your destination. Link your daily decisions, your life, your mission, your goals, your habits, your aspirations. Everything you do in this world, everything you do in this world, link your daily decisions to the destination that you seek. And oftentimes, as we all know, we become distracted. We start making decisions subconsciously. In fact, according to one researcher, we make up to 35,000 decisions on a daily basis without realizing it. Most of these decisions are automated. For example, you made a decision today to pray Fajr on time. You made that decision to get out of bed. You made a decision to come to the masjid for the obligatory Jumu'ah prayer. You made a decision when you walked into the masjid where you were going to sit. And as you're listening to the khutbah, and every Friday khutbah, and any reminder, you're making a constant decision after decision to keep listening. These are decisions that we make, some major and some minor. And they all have different ramifications, different consequences. For example, we don't think that someone who goes to a restaurant and tries to order his or her favorite meal, and they find out it's unavailable, and now they're indecisive, they don't know what to decide, and they're so confused, and they're stricken with fear, what's going to happen to me? It's not that serious of a decision. The meal that you choose, in the overwhelming majority of cases, it's not going to really affect your long-term life that much. And I want us to think about these decisions that we make consciously and subconsciously. Our habits are all decisions, and we become what we do. We become the culmination of our actions. And our position in the afterlife to seek Jannah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on how many of our decisions in this world we're looking for that mercy. We're seeking that mercy. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The mercy of Allah is closer to, it's close to, meaning it's more encompassed with those who do good. And we have many examples like this in the Quran. But before we do that, when you're thinking about school, when you're thinking about work, now many people have gone back to schools. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of our children all around the world success in their studies and the proper intention, the purpose for why they are studying, that they are linking their studies to the purpose of life. They're linking their studies to the akhirah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, they're thinking that my education is for a purpose, which motivates people, which motivates students. Whether or not they enjoy the subject, they're more motivated because their perspective and their goal, their destination is much greater than just one class. So they're working hard for a reason. They're working hard for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the ummah, for the sake of their family. And also you have more barakah in your actions when you link them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as many people go back to schools and universities, and a lot of fall semester classes have started, and many people are still working from home, others have gone back to workplaces, and many mothers are focusing, and many fathers as well, raising their children depending on their situations. And as we get back into this groove, if you will, this routine of another semester, it's important for us to take a step back and realize that the easiest way for us as believers to feel like we are not separating ad-dunya and al-akhirah in a way that is not healthy, in a way that separates all worldly things, including your studies, your job, the reading of that book, the socializing with your family, the time you spend eating, the time you spend sleeping, rather than completely separating them altogether, we want to link them together. And in order to link them together, we must first understand the destination that we seek that has the name on it already, the destination of Jannah, and the true criteria of success. Because if you're trying to answer the question that all human beings ask, how can I be successful? First, you need to define success. And if you misdefine success or misapply it, success in a game of chess or in a basketball league or in anything else is limited to that scope. You would not say you are a successful Muslim because you are successful, let's say, in one specific realm of life. No, the criteria of success is very clear to us. What is success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. And the one who is saved from the hellfire and entered into paradise has won, has succeeded. True success is to live for that purpose, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His pleasure. Knowing that you're looking for a destination, you're working for it, and all of your decisions are linked to it. After establishing the criteria of success, of pleasing Allah and making it to Jannah, then you start looking at everything of the dunya that you do, including your career, including your studies, whether they are required, or your personal pursuit of knowledge and education, your intellectual growth and development, the time that you spend on maybe beneficial hobbies, the time you spend volunteering for important causes, for many of our brothers and sisters all around the world, for anybody who's oppressed, the time that you spend raising children, the time that you spend socializing with family, and so on and so forth. All of these worldly things, when we come to the field of goal setting, and when we come to that moment of thinking about our goals, it is crucial that now that you have a clear idea of what success is, that these goals are linked to that success. What ends up happening is you're working for the sake of Allah. And therefore, you cannot possibly intend that your work, your income, is for the sake of Allah, and then you're earning haram income from interest or selling alcohol. You cannot possibly have this conflict. You cannot then come to the point where you're doing something of a habit that is haram or prohibited in your day-to-day life and thinking, well, this is for the sake of Allah. Well, no, clearly you know it's not. Clearly you know this is wrong. So this is a decision that does not lead closer to your name in Jannah, at least to the other place. May Allah protect us. May Allah guide us. May Allah forgive us. When we think about decision making, ultimately we want to look at our habits, be a little more conscious. If all we can take from this khutbah is to be a little more mindful with our decisions morning and night, that when you're about to do something, think twice about it, even if it's something good. Be a little more mindful in the moment, conscious with your intention, that what I'm doing right now and everything that I do is affecting the home that I end up in today and tomorrow and until the day that we die. Every decision that you make. And so, for example, we might use this to remind our sons and our daughters going back to schools, and all college students and university students in general, that when you're on campus, when you're in school, and you're in a situation where there's peer pressure or something that you know to be conflicting with your beliefs, then make that conscious decision to choose the path that will bring you closer to Jannah. Because ultimately none of these people will be standing on the Day of Judgment and saying, it's my fault, I led you astray. When you're at work, make that conscious decision. Whether you're working from home and you're not seen by your employer and you're still charging them for the 40 hours a week, or you're working at the corporate office and you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, make that decision consciously that what you're doing is to bring you closer to the pleasure of Allah in Jannah. When you're at home, whether you're alone or with family or friends, this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're about to sleep, you say afkarun naum, supplications of sleep, so that you are remembering why you are sleeping in the first place, why you exist to begin with. Why do you work? Why do you put in all this effort in your life? What is it for? It has meaning. And the meaning is that you have a destination in mind, the ultimate factual criteria of success that you seek. So everything in your life, from education to family to relationships to work to health, even while you're working out and exercising your body, all of these things become linked to a destination and not a dunya. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts attached to the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran and in hundreds of ayat, the afterlife, al-akhirah, He could have mentioned Jannah and hellfire once to us. In terms of information, it could have been mentioned just once in the Quran. Why are they mentioned, the afterlife, paradise and hellfire and everything between, hundreds of verses, almost 1,000 verses in the Quran? It's because we're in need of a reminder from multiple perspectives. That in some surah you will find many ayat about Jannah and only one ayah about the hellfire. And in some ayat, in some passage, you'll find an emphasis on hellfire and a few ayat about paradise. And in some places you will find the juxtaposition or the contrast between paradise and hellfire. And all of this is because we're in need of that balance, that reminder. Why are you living your life? Why do you exist, O mankind? Where are you headed? Where is your destination? And are your actions today linked to the destinations of tomorrow? When you study paradise and hellfire, you find the gates of Jannah, 8 gates, mentioned in one of the authentic ahadith recorded by Tirmidhi. The gates of Jannah have names that are linked to actions in this world. Like Bab al-Rayyan is for those who fast and nobody else. Bab al-Salah and Bab al-Sadaqah, the prayer and the charity gate. So all the gates of Jannah are for specific types of characteristics, actions, and decisions that you made in this world. And the gates of the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابِ. It has 7 gates, the hellfire. لِكُلِّ بَابِ مِنْهُمْ جُزْءُ مَقْسُومٍ. For every gate, there is an assigned type of sinner, an action that they chose in this world. May Allah protect us all. Allahumma ameen. What are the main decisions that led some people to paradise, to that name that they saw in their dream or heard in the hadith, and led others to the hellfire? The first and most important thing is the contrast between humility and arrogance. And everything comes down to this. Humility and arrogance. The people of Jannah had to have humility to submit to Allah. And the people of the hellfire are, and it's filled with the people of arrogance and pride. فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. It's filled with the people of arrogance. Why? Arrogance is to reject the truth when it comes to you. To reject the sign of God when it comes to you. To twist it and make it seem like it's something else. Or reject it as a sign altogether. Because there's an internal spiritual problem. There's no evidence that's missing when you're trying to explain to an atheist colleague or classmate that God exists. No, there's no evidence that's missing from our end. The evidences are countless in science and physics and all fields and branches of epistemology and philosophy. There's no lack of evidences in science. The problem is not an intellectual or even an empirical one. The problem is an internal spiritual psychological one. And the reality is, arrogance destroys your life. Not just in terms of faith, not just in terms of religion. Arrogance can prevent some people, yes, from saying, as many atheists have said, that they would not believe in God even if He appeared to them. They would think that they were hallucinating. Look at the arrogance. And people said this 1400 years ago as well. But arrogance also is a reminder for the Muslims. Number one, not to reject the truth when it comes to you, meaning the reminder that you're doing something wrong, it's time to change. The time to change is always today. And also, arrogance, kibir, is to look down on other people, to think you're better than other people, whether that's in worldly terms or even in your faith. That if you are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and blessed, attribute that success to Allah and the fact that Allah concealed your wrongdoings. And if you see something bad in someone else, your brother or your sister, assume that they are better than you. But in that moment, maybe you saw one thing that they're doing that was wrong, and it is wrong and we do not justify it. But perhaps behind the scenes they are repenting or doing much more than you are between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, give them nasiha in the wisest, most prophetic manner possible in the right time and right place. Humility leads to Jannah. If you want that position in Jannah that has your name on it, it cannot be achieved except through humility. And if you want to avoid that position in the hellfire that has your name on it, it cannot be avoided except with an avoidance of arrogance and kibir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The second contrast you find in Jannah and hellfire in terms of the people, the inhabitants, is that the people of Jannah were people of obedience to Allah. And the people of the hellfire were people of rebellion. That they said, لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not amongst those who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمُسْكِينَ. We did not used to feed those who were in need, those who were poor. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. We used to waste time with the people of vanities. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. We used to reject belief and preparation for the day of resurrection. حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. Until we died. Until certainty came to us, meaning the moment of death. Whereas the people of Jannah obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find in the Quran a very interesting and very important point. People in this world view the concept of being intelligent in different ways. Are you an intellectual? Are you smart? Are you wise? And the people of the hellfire say, and this is a surah we should be reciting every night, and if not, this is a good time to start with Surah Al-Mulk. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْطِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. The people of the hellfire say, if only we used to listen more, if only we used to listen and also نَعْقِلْ, use our minds, our intellects properly, then we would not be amongst the people of the fire. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They confess to their sins. They admit. In this world, sometimes, yes, even Muslims may be deceived and think that certain people or certain groups or certain ideologies are true intellectuals, But the true intellectual is the one who knows the purpose for which they were created, and they prepare for the guaranteed life after death. That's true wisdom. And foolishness, the opposite of that, is to ignore that. To ignore your mind, to use your reasoning, your aql in the wrong way. As some people use their eyes in the wrong way and their ears in the wrong way, they're listening. To use your mind in the wrong way will lead you to the wrong conclusion. So true intelligence and true reasoning leads to revelation, leads to salvation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and guide us and forgive us. Allahumma ameen. A group of young teenagers one time were playing with fire, messing around. As sometimes teenagers do. It's not excused, but we all know how it is. One of them was burned as they were playing with fire, and I believe fireworks. One of them was burned. Went to the hospital. I think first and second degree burns, multiple areas of his body. And he learned a lesson. And the lesson was, simply put, don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. Now when we say don't play with fire, we usually mean it literally and we also mean it figuratively. Don't play with things that can harm you. Don't mess with situations that can lead to a risk that you do not want to take. Because not every risk is the same. And when you assess different areas of risk in your life, you find that oftentimes people do play with fire in different ways. Look at the measures people take to avoid being burned every year, even though there are maybe 1.1 million burn accidents every year, just in the United States of America alone. But we take measures. What does that mean? A lot of parents, when their children start to finally walk, will start to lock some doors. The doorknobs cannot be turned. The drawers cannot be opened. Why? Why is it so important? Because there is a risk to your child and for your child. A lot of people have fire extinguishers in their homes, and I believe everyone should. And if you do not, it is important for us to teach our children and families what to do in the case of an emergency. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all in our homes and in all of our blessings. Allahumma ameen. People have fireproof safes. People have waterproof phones. So when we think about, and even fire drills in schools and so on and so forth, when we think about the measurements we take when it comes to certain perceived risks, and this is just one example of many, when we take measures, it's because we know that if we don't take that measure, the potential harm is so severe. It's so bad. It's so destructive in some way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. When we perceive danger and we take measures and we care, we find it saddening from an Islamic perspective then and therefore that if you do not play with the fire of this world and you don't play with fire in general and you can't even come near a fire in general as you're kindling a fire or a bonfire or a candle in your home, you can't even come near that fire. So if you cannot play with the fire of this world, how can you play with the fire of the afterlife? We're living in a times in which we've become desensitized to it, where people think you can only talk about Jannah and the good feelings that come with that, and that you should never talk about the hellfire. But who is the wisest of the wise, Ahkamul Hakimeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who talks about both paradise and hellfire, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who explained to us about paradise and hellfire, so that we know both are a possibility linked to our actions in this world today. Don't play with the doors of temptation. Don't play with those relationships and the risks in your home, online, at school, at work. Don't open the door for the devil to start messing with your faith, to put you at risk in your relationship, to put you at risk with your akhirah. If you don't want to mess with the fire of this world, don't mess with the fire that's 70 times hotter than that. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to protect us, and to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, and on this note we end here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ. Do not incline to the people who oppress themselves in terms of faith and oppress other people in terms of rights. Otherwise, you might be burned by the fire. Don't come near, don't incline to, out of love and companionship, the kind of people that are pulling you towards the hellfire. In other words, treat them in a certain way with respect, with dignity, in a religious or pluralistic society. But don't incline to those types of lifestyles. Don't look up to those kinds of people. That's not the right measurement of success, lest you be burned by the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who forbade us from interest and usury because of its harms, its immorality, its destructiveness, taking advantage of people and their situations, facilitating interest in society, as we know, is destructive as it is. And it is one of the most difficult things for Muslims to avoid in the modern world, in most places around the world. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to stay away from it, Surah Ali Imran, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Be mindful of Allah when it comes to interest and stay away from it. And also be mindful, be aware, and have some fear, yes, of the fire that was not prepared for the believers. It was prepared for people who reject the commands of Allah. So don't reject the commands of Allah. Don't mess with the afterlife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, guide us, and forgive us. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He is the oft-forgiving, the most merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala ahlihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no one amongst you who does not have two positions. One in paradise and one in the hellfire. And the believer, when they enter Jannah, will have a palace built for them in paradise, and their position in the hellfire will be destroyed. The disbeliever, when they enter the hellfire, will have their position in paradise destroyed. Our actions have consequences, and we make thousands of decisions every day. So let us decide wisely. Let us decide with the end in sight. Let us decide while thinking about these two very real possibilities of the afterlife. Let us decide while recognizing why we exist to begin with. It is to decide. It is to make decisions, to make the right decisions with every situation. You don't control what happens to you. You don't control where you were born or who you're born to. But you control the life that you have in terms of the decisions that you make. And you will only be held accountable for those decisions, for how you reacted to certain scenarios and situations, to the things that you pursued of education and the time that you spent with different habits, to the socializing, to the school, to the raising of children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to what's best. But I want to end here with a disclaimer as well and a reminder. When it comes to the topic of the hellfire, there are a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings, perhaps beyond the scope of this khutbah for another time. But just in short, notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Be mindful and be aware of and fear, yes, the fire that was prepared for those who reject the truth. It was not prepared for the Muslim. It was not prepared for the one who felt bad, so they repented to Allah. Hellfire was not prepared only for the perfect or for the most destructive and wicked of people. Hellfire was prepared for the Muslim who also, or paradise was prepared for the Muslim who also struggled. They repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worked hard. And hellfire was prepared for the wicked, those who kept rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. And oftentimes many Muslims, when they hear about Jannah and the description of Jannah, they think, well, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. When we think about perfection, we think about a certain thing in our minds. We were created with the ability to decide. Does this justify being lax and sinning? No, of course not. We should learn from our mistakes. We should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently and never give up on becoming better. But ultimately, those are the decisions that we have to make. But you cannot possibly lose hope when you know that Jannah u'iddat lilmuttaqeen was prepared for the God conscious. Paradise was not prepared for angels that have no free will. It was prepared for believers, human beings, and the jinn who choose today to do what's right, and they earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah eternally in the next life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. The decisions that you choose and pursue in this world determine the destination that you end up in. So choose very wisely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in every decision that we make and all of the goals that we set and all of the objectives and aspirations we have in this world. And may Allah put barakah in everything that we do, in our education, our studies, the raising of our children, our health, and our relationships, and so on and so forth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided upon this path until the day that we meet Him. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa fil mala' al a'la ila yawm al din. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لوالدينا ولوالدي والدينا اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم ارزقنا الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. اللهم إنا نسألك الفردوس الأعلى بغير حساب مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.